Hello, and welcome to the 11th episode of Continuing the Conversation. I hope that you'll enjoy listening to Ben and I talk with Mystic Moose about a bunch of random things that were on our mind. We had, two episodes this week. We're going to start doing them every other Tuesday at 9 Eastern Standard Time, and the Thursdays in between those, so the weeks in between are going to be at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on those Thursdays. I hope that eventually, after listening to all the random and interesting topics that we approach, that you'll all realize that not only are we all in this together, but we are this together. Please enjoy the show.
Or anything else. So
I wish I'd gotten all that on recording. That was all golden, man. That was perfect. Yeah, you're talking about how any percent of the population is going to react badly to any drug, especially a new one that you don't know anything about. Vaccine's not necessarily a drug, but it's something you're injecting into your body, though.
That's right. And that could be anything. It could be any substance. It could be things that you eat, you know, a new thing in your diet. You don't know what it's going to do to you long term. Yeah, I mean, unless it's been studied for a long time. And even then, you know, if some people's diets can't handle things that yours can. We all react differently to stuff. So, you know, to be anti-vaccine because there's a certain percentage of the population that run into problems with the vaccine, I don't buy into that theory. I mean, I know, like I said, I know what vaccines have done for us.
Saved countless lives.
As far as this one, I don't know. I'm still on the fence too. I'm glad I'm not the front in line. I'm glad I'm further towards the back, and I don't have to, you know, work in a hospital or something like that and have to be one of the first ones to get it. I'll wait. I'll see what happens with that, and whether it's going to be one of these seasonal things as well. Like, so far, there doesn't look like the immunity is going to be lifetime. So how freaking are you going to have these vaccines too, right? Is it going to be one of these, you know, like the flu shot? People die of the flu. I know people that say this is no worse than the flu. I don't buy into that theory either. I know enough to people that have, you know, died.
Definitely worse than the flu. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's more people dying than the classic flu, and you know the measures that we have in place here. A lot of social distancing and masking. It's been like policy. Pretty much everybody does it. It's not an issue here in Canada. And we don't have flus. The flu's gone. We don't have flu deaths this year. And people are going, oh, the numbers are, well, they're rolling COVID deaths into flu deaths. And it's not. It's the fact that we're wearing these masks and we're not rubbing up once to get against one another. We're not spreading these flus like we did in the past that killed, you know, mostly our elderly. So, you know, I don't know. But as far as the vaccine goes, if it's going to be one of these yearly things like the flu shot, I don't get the flu shot. I'm a healthy enough person. When I'm older, sure, I'll get the flu shot. So if it comes to be something like that with COVID, the same thing. Vaccinate the vulnerable. If it's going to be a yearly thing that we can't get rid of. We can only get rid of stuff that's not yearly, that we get lifetime immunities to, right? Like, this is it. So unless we can get a vaccine with a lifetime immunity, I'm not for it.
So this vaccine is, there isn't necessarily a lifetime immunity to anything, I guess, because even the DTaP, you have to get updated every 10 years, supposedly, at least. But this one's a new type of vaccine in general that hasn't ever been used in the public.
Exactly.
It's been studied for 30 years, sure. But it's never been used on large scale. And now they're just about to give it to anyone who fucking wants it and has the money for it.
Over 7 billion people, you know?
Yeah. My dad already got the first round, my sister, my mom, and they're all asking me, like, did you sign up? And I'm like, well, actually, no. You know, I'd like to see some long-term studies. I'd at least like to see how my family reacts to it because they all got it. That's so, you know, I've got like front row seats to the guinea pigs of our society, and I know it's
probably
safe.
You gotta let me know how that plays out.
Okay, so far they're all healthy. I mean, I didn't even see it, like, they didn't even mention any negative side effects. Like, sometimes you get fever and pain in the spot that it was injected. And I read about sometimes, sometimes it's really bad. What is it? Anaphylactic shock, or no, I can't remember what it's called, but
yeah,
some people have really bad reactions.
Vaccines, for sure. There's components of the vaccines that if you're not aware you're allergic to, sure, you can have an anaphylactic reaction. Absolutely.
A couple days ago, this person posted something about vaccine facts and myths. And the first one was that no corners were cut in the studying and production of the COVID-19 vaccine. And I was like, how do you do long-term studies in a year? Just a simple question. And someone flipped their shit on me. Like, I shouldn't have done that on Facebook. It was not smart of me to...
No.
to question the authority of the vaccine.
But you're right. I mean, they can't do a long-term study yet. But what they're doing is a broad-based study, right? So they're just giving it to more people, looking for the... Oh, it's safe. It's safe. We've given it to more people, and nobody's had a reaction. So, yeah, we know short-term it's good, but you're right. There is no long-term. And to argue that is ridiculous. It hasn't been given to anybody before a few months ago. I mean...
That's what they said was that, they've been in development for 30 years. And I was like, so has all mRNA vaccines had the same ingredients always?
Specific to this type of coronavirus, too. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. My dad was telling me
that it's more effective and everyone is more safe the more people that get the vaccine. And while I kind of understand that, I also don't. Like, he said it's less effective in older people, and I guess that makes sense because what it's doing is stimulating the immune system to produce the antibodies or whatever it is.
Yep.
The RNA has less precision than DNA, so it has more chances of mistakes. I don't know. I don't feel like I should have to inject something so new and rushed into my system just because my dad wants me to.
No, and I mean,
I don't know.
On the same token, I mean, you're not in any of the vulnerable segments, and unless you're in the vulnerable segments or you have to work with the vulnerable segments, I've got old family that might be vulnerable, but I don't mind not seeing them that often right now. You know what I mean? Because, once they're vaccinated, I can see them again. You know what I mean? I'm not super concerned about it. I know I can live a short time without, having those face-to-face connections or, hugging my grandma, if she was still around. It's not the end of the world. I'm willing just to keep her safe to stay away until we know that she's safe, But as far as, you're not part of those vulnerable. If you're not part of those vulnerable populations, I don't see the rush to rush out and get it. Really, let the people that need it get it first. And there is people that need it more than others. Like the people in, I don't know how bad it's been there in the States, but here, a lot of the deaths have been in long term care facilities. So it's a lot of the elderly population that are having the worst effects and that are dying. Yeah. So make sure that they get taken care of. The people that have to work with them and the families that have to visit them get taken care of first. Make sure that people that manage the supply chains and shit like that are taken care of. I don't do that. I don't need it. And like I said, I don't mind the current protocols. And they're saying even after you've been vaccinated, it doesn't mean you're allowed or you're supposed to stop wearing a mask. You could still catch it, or you could still catch one of these new variants that might slip through the cracks.
That would give you permission to travel though if you have the vaccine. They might allow you special privileges.
Yeah, but as it stands, I mean, it's kind of country by country, and nobody's requiring COVID vaccination. A lot of them are requiring that you have a negative test to come into the country.
Yeah,
but there's nobody requiring a vaccine yet, and I don't see that coming really, really soon. There's talk of that, but I think a lot of that's just conspiracy bullshit to build up a lot of the anti-vax. It's a lot of QAnon crap, vaccination passports and stuff. I mean, really, seriously.
Hey, well,
don't be hating on QAnon now.
No.
I hear about all day at work,
I mean, there's conspiracies that are real and there's ones that are not. And I mean, how do you know what's real and what's not? You got to choose for yourself. And I don't look down on nobody for what they choose to believe. Absolutely.
I like conspiracy theories as much as the next crazy person, but
absolutely. I can't do psychedelics and not like conspiracy theories.
I never could really buy like all the stuff as far as conspiracy goes. I've got to have some sort of evidence to back it up. Like, it's got to be plausible.
And yeah, yeah. The government killed JFK. We know that.
Microchip or something into me. I can't really like. I don't see any evidence that I'm getting a microchip put in me with a vaccine. I'm not gonna get it, but I also don't get the flu vaccine unless I have to get it.
Right now,
I don't have to get it. Right now, I'm fine with just wearing a mask and socially distancing. But
yeah,
I've had it once already, and I don't know what the rules are on it now. If I can get it again or not, but I got the vid back in late fall.
You got it, eh?
Yeah.
The vid. I've never heard it called that. I've heard it called Rona.
Oh, I've heard it the called vid. That's the vid. A new one. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I got it. We got like, shit. Everybody I work with got it back in.
What the fuck? Do you still have taste and smell? I hear people are losing their taste and smell.
I never had any symptoms other than like a cough.
Oh wow.
I never got any symptoms. But one of my coworkers, he never coughed or had a fever or anything, but he couldn't taste or smell, and he was positive. And
damn.
I don't know. I didn't fucking find out I was positive until the day my quarantine ended anyway, though. Like, you know, yeah, if you get the test, you're supposed to quarantine. So I stayed at
home.
The day after my quarantine ended, they called me back. I'm like, oh, hey, we got your results in. You're positive. I'm like, well, I'm not good. It's too late now. I mean, I've already quarantined what you told me to quarantine, but then my company made me go get tested again just to make sure. And I came back negative, so. But yeah, it was weird. I went to work for like 4 days with the coronavirus.
Before or after getting tested?
After getting tested, they told me if I didn't have any symptoms, then I needed to go to work. So I went to work, and then I started coughing at work, and they sent me home. I went to work, fourth day of me being there. I'm like, well,
damn.
Because we were down.
Well,
crazy.
I was like, I read the last one available to work. So somebody had to be there.
I read that it has like 11-day gestation period. So like you could have it and it could be in your body and you could be spreading it. Mm-hmm. But it won't show up on a test for 11 days.
Yeah, I've saw some studies that said something like that.
Yeah, all this asymptomatic transmission. Yeah.
Which my sister, she's a nurse, so she had to get the vaccine. She said it wasn't bad and she hasn't felt anything since she got it.
That's good. But again, that's short term.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, too, I mean, you look at the virus, too. I mean, this is something novel, these strains of the virus that we haven't experienced before, or, you know, in recorded human history, we don't know
what
the long-term effects of that is, too, right? Well, and we don't know what the long-term effects are of the virus itself. But we're looking here, I don't know how much you guys have of it down there, but we're seeing more and more people with these long-haul cases where they're getting, you know, perfectly healthy people before they got COVID. They got COVID, even mild cases, and now they have these lingering weird health problems, like weird heart conditions and fucking circulation problems and
lung issues
and blood clots and all kinds of fucking shit. That's like, so we don't know, you know, is it better to not get it, to be vaccinated and not get it, because you're going to end up with some kind of health condition, kind of like, you know, catching HPV. You get, you know, your chances of cancer go up, you know what I mean? Like, is it going to be like that? Are we going to find out from having, you know, 30 years of studying COVID itself that, oh shit, catching this actually leads to, you know, the development of some kind of fucking cancer that we've seen a huge rise in or whatever? With it all being new, you can kind of play devil's advocate on both sides of the page.
Right.
With this type of vaccine, though, you're not actually getting the virus.
Yeah,
you're getting like a protein from the virus or something.
Exactly. So is it better to get the antivac, to get the antivirus and never get the virus itself? Like, is there going to be long term health effects of the virus itself that are worse than the antivirus? That's what I'm wondering.
I see.
I know they don't have a lot of studies going on, at least in my state, because the first like 100 or so cases, everybody was just getting diagnosed with walking pneumonia. They weren't.
Yeah.
Wow.
COVID for a long time. We still have. Where I'm from right now and then where my hometown is are two of the higher places for positive tests because nobody actually takes the shit seriously. I go to Walmart and the majority of the people don't have a mask on. They're standing right on top of you. Nobody's really
here. Still?
Well, nah, man. It's Alabama. They don't give a fuck. It's a government health law.
There's talk here too that there is the first wave started here in November before, you know, kind of when it was just getting known that it was happening in China, it was already here and spreading.
Yeah.
We remember in November, everybody around here got this brutal ass fucking cold. Brutal. Worst cold that anybody could remember ever having. You know, most people got better. There wasn't a whole shit ton of deaths or anything that I can remember from that one. But then all the COVID news was going on, and people were just thinking they had a fucking cold. We didn't have the testing in place for quite a while, and then our cases didn't spike for about 6 to 7, 8 months after that November cold wave we had. So the timing of, like, your natural immunity that you get from catching it kind of almost times with when our next big wave hit. So it's kind of...
Right.
They're theorizing that too, you know, the containment in China, it had been spreading from China a long time before they'd said it was actually getting out of China, or that they had a handle on it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they're saying a lot of people that got these seasonal colds in North America and, like, last fall might have actually had COVID, but there's, you know, not many other ways you can test now, because you wouldn't even have the antibodies. You couldn't do an antibody test and test for it being that old, you know, being that it's well over a year now.
Right.
Crazy.
I know, like, all the stuff is just, you know, from what I've seen, at least around here, all the reports come out, it's like 1 week it'll say one thing, the next thing they'll find something else out about it. So we're gonna be learning about it for the next several years, even longer, trying to see what the effects are gonna be.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a long haul learning about all of it.
But I mean, that's how any kind of virus it goes, though, because viruses have the capability to fucking mutate. So,
well, that's, yeah, exactly. And if this is just a warm up, I mean, my initial thoughts when we started hearing about COVID here was it that this is the planet itself. I mean, this is its own antibodies, right? This is it creating something to, just like we would, to get rid of a virus that's really, really starting to get under our skin. You know, we'll let something live on us for a little bit. Once it gets to a certain level, our antibodies start to kick in and we start fighting it off. You kind of look at the way the virus is. It's not that bad. It's kind of like a wake up call from Mother Nature, from her immune system, saying, like, you know, wake up, start changing the way you fucking live, change pretty much everything. I'm gonna give you this virus. It's not gonna, you know, take out your youngest and your brightest. It's gonna take out mostly the old, you know, the ones that not to be, you know, cold or anything, but the ones that are, you know, have already, you know, been a benefit to society and are now kind of more a drain on the resources of the planet, kind of thing. So here we go. We're going to show you what Mother Nature can do. She's kind of showing us a warm up, and if we don't take it seriously, which I don't think people really have, with, you know, the fundamental changes that need to happen on the planet, the next one's going to be a hell of a lot more lethal, way more lethal. And it's not Bill Gates creating these things; it's the fucking planet. The planet's alive, man. When you've done DMT, you know the planet's alive. It's breathing. It's an organism. It thinks. It's just like us, but it's a fucking planet. And we're just cells on that planet. You know what I mean?
about the virus is also true about I think politicians. That, you know, we're gonna get a worse Trump pretty soon because the Democrats don't give a shit. And I know that's the case in a lot of different countries.
Yeah, and I mean the fact that a Trump happened in the first place shows that, hey, it can happen again. Like, you know, I never thought it would happen, and it did.
Exactly. And Biden's policy is that nothing will fundamentally change. He wants to go back to Obama era, but Obama era is what got us Trump. So if we go back to what we had before Trump, we're going to get a worse Trump.
Absolutely.
With politics, you're never going to get a president or anybody in politics that actually gives a shit about people like us. Because they're not
as long as you stay in this two-party system.
Exactly.
Well, we need a ranked
and
choice.
That's just it. With the systems, you don't get there. You don't get to the place where you can run the shit without having to have done some shit to get there.
That's nonsense.
Nobody, you know?
You don't get the right person by voting in the person over and over again.
No.
Or a different version of the same. Like, okay, we went red last 4 years. Let's go blue these 4 years. And then we'll go red again, and then we'll go blue again. And it's never going to change. They're the same coin.
Up here, we at least have a three-party system, three major parties on the national political scene, and the third party was just thought of as a kind of a joke party. And actually, there's four parties, but the other one, the Green Party, doesn't really get many seats. They're kind of not thought of as much. But anyway, the one party, the NDP, for years and years and years, it was this fringe party, and it was always our liberal and our conservative governments that were always battling for government, usually switching every, 8 years, 4 years, whenever. kind of shit back and forth, just like you guys. But one of the last elections, I think 3 elections ago, the Liberal Party lost almost all their seats to the NDP. The NDP got the minority. So, it goes to show that having a third party when you're really not happy, at least you got another option. You can kind of stir things up a little bit.
It forces the first two parties to actually give a shit a little bit. Because it makes them...
And it forces a lot more across the aisle, partnerships, having a third party that, can get involved there too and kind of foster that. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Seems to work better having three people as opposed to two people yelling and screaming at each other. I don't know. It's almost like the third party acts as a moderator in a way.
So back to the Alive Earth statement. What would be the moderator for Earth? Humans?
Oh, geez, I don't think we're even close to a moderator.
We don't have one, do we? Wait, maybe psychedelics.
Yeah.
Psychedelics are the moderator.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps.
I know they talk about ayahuasca's plans for saving the Amazon and things like this. I wonder sometimes if it's really like an entity that lives in the plant, or is it the Earth talking through the plant? Is it some other entity in a different dimension that has latched itself to the plant, or is it anything?
I think it's all part of that glimpse of universal consciousness that,
yeah,
that thing that's inside everything.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too.
Yeah.
Shaboy would say that it doesn't matter because we are all one, and I guess that's the gist of it.
exactly. When you get up close enough, everything's just made of the same shit.
So I have a deck of cards that I've had in a international package for you with your address on it. I know that you don't care, but
God, no, man.
It'll get there eventually. I'm sorry, dude.
No, don't you ever say sorry to me. No, okay. No reason for that shit.
I figured, but I thought I would offer my apology anyways, and I won't in the future. No. I'll shut up.
No, I'm good. It'll be a great surprise. It'll be a great surprise. I love checking the mail every day. You just never know, man. Every day could be Christmas.
Yeah, you're right. I've gotten some interesting stuff in the mail.
Oh God, yeah. I love those surprises. You're just like, what the fuck? Where did this come from? Oh boy. Yeah. Love it, man.
I can hear two different types of hawk. Just as I'm digging this hole to bury a chicken that a hawk killed.
Yeah, we've got lots of birds of prey around here too. They've made a huge comeback. I don't know. I think a lot of the protection acts that were enacted when the numbers were really, really, really low, just after they stopped using DDT in like the 70s. Because I remember when I was a kid, like pretty much all the raptors, birds of prey, fucking frogs, there was just so many species, mostly egg-laying species, were nearly wiped out from the use of DDTs. So they banned that. I remember peregrine falcons were on the verge of extinction here. Blue herons were on the verge of extinction here. Just Aww. so many species, a huge trickle down effect. And now there's, thriving bald eagle population just down the road from where I live. There's red-tailed hawks everywhere. There's peregrine falcons everywhere. There's tons of different birds of prey. There's fucking turkey vultures flying around everywhere. Great blue
herons. Yeah, there's tons of turkey vultures.
They're everywhere. So, I mean, they put those protections in place, and it's awesome for it, but there's, I think the numbers are up to the point where they don't need such strict protections anymore.
Yeah, we might need a little update.
I don't think everybody should be able to hunt them. It shouldn't be open season on things like that.
But if they're fucking with your property, I feel like you should be able to protect your property. And I've seen bald eagles do some fucked up shit.
That's right. That's right. Because I know like here with like us being on a farm and agriculture, having livestock, if a coyote comes onto my property and it's fucking with my chickens or it's fucking with my livestock, out of season or not, hunting license or not, I can pick up my rifle and I can shoot it.
I can kill a coyote.
Yeah. A neighbor's dog comes on my property. Snake. It's going after my donkey. I can shoot it. But I don't know what the rules are on those protected species, those birds of prey or for things like that too, being agriculture. Because being a farmer, you have the right to defend your livestock and your crops.
Yep.
I know farmers that are, you know, they're not supposed to try to shoot to kill, but, you know, they're out shooting their shotguns off in the field trying to scare deer out of the corn because they're going in and killing their corn crop, you know?
Yeah.
Every now and then, I'm sure one of them might get hit by a stray shot and the farmer gets a little bit of venison, but... Yeah, no, the birds of prey are definitely...
I've got a chicken run and a coop, and I keep the run open so they can go out and eat the fresh grass.
Yep.
I guess they all ran inside to get away from this hawk. And the hawk fucking followed her.
See you, Moose!
All right. Later, man.
Yeah.
I'm not. She still has issues with eating because of the raised palate and all. That.
Yep. That's a tough one on a lot of mothers for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and their husbands.
Yeah, mostly, absolutely. Yeah,
mostly the wife. You're right.
It's hard on everybody for sure. But definitely, it's one of those things that hopefully you guys can get on top of it. I know my wife ended up with postpartum depression after our first, and 22 years later,
it's still
suffering.
Yeah, that's harsh.
Yeah,
we've been going to therapy because there's some things that. She's having trouble coming to terms with, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Therapy's
awesome.
We just started that, so
I know it's helped us through a lot of different times. Therapy, and it doesn't hurt to go back to it when you start screwing up again. And it's definitely so many people give up on therapy right away. And I mean, it's finding a good therapist too. A lot of people have bad experiences with a therapist. You got to find to get the right therapist can be a problem, but. When you find a good therapist that you can both speak openly in front of and, you know, that can moderate things that you may have troubles talking about, oh, man, wow, that can be beneficial to the relationship. And so many people give up, you know, too early on counseling. And that's why you see divorces are so rampant, man. People just give up. It's so easy to walk away from a relationship. It's so easy, but it's so hard to put in the work to make it work.
Yeah. I think
it's not easy.
Worth it,
it's not
though.
It is easy when you find your life partner. You know, you find someone that's your soulmate, the person you love for the rest of your life. It's still not every day. It's not easy to live with them. Absolutely.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But that's true with anyone. You can't. You can live with your best friend, and you're still. In fact, probably the people that you're.
Some days, dude.
I was about to say the people you're closest with are the people you probably fight with the most, and you're spot on. Yeah, I think people are way too hard on themselves.
Yeah, how often do you fight with yourself in your head? How often do you fight
every day, mentally? Every fucking day?
Beat yourself up over stuff you did when you were a kid, still, or like you know,
and a lot of it you're not even like conscious of sometimes. Yeah,
Or you're thinking about a future scenario and you're already putting yourself through the ringer or through hell or something that may or may not actually come to fruition or come to happen. And it's like, why
fucking amygdala
ourselves? Why do we do this to ourselves? Why were we created with such high intelligence and the ability to reason and all this other shit? Why can't we just be happy like dogs and fucking monkeys?
Well, that's something that nonviolent communication, Marshall Rosenberg, I talk about it all the time because it's really helped me personally, like for myself, but also for my relationships. And pretty much if I can get it for like every conversation, then I feel like... I feel like my life would flow a lot better, but it's so hard to not react, you know, when you're upset.
It's hard
triggers
stay
you.
In that awareness for sure.
But if I can get myself to process my own triggers and reactions to things like internally, and then kind of give myself some empathy and ask for things that I feel like unmet needs that I feel are would be beneficial in each situation. I think that's the process is observations, feelings, needs, and request. So if you can do that with yourself, you can find the unmet need that's manifesting as a judgment or a trigger of some sort. I think it says even when you're, what is it? The violent communication includes rewards and punishments, not just punishment. So the reward system is actually a violent way to achieve something because you're coercing someone. I thought that was interesting.
Very. Wow.
So the idea is that you want people to, you don't want people to just do what you want. You want people to want to do what you want.
Yes.
instead of giving them some other reason to do it, you convince them that it's a good idea instead of, and I think this will be interesting, raising the kid, trying to live that way. Yeah. I mean, you have to do rewards. Like, that's what I'm used to. At least rewards, but I don't know. Maybe I can find a better way.
Yeah. With this. I think that's what every generation's trying to do. And some end up better and some end up worse. But all we can do is keep trying because, man, oh, man, for as long as we've had recorded history, I don't think anybody's been able to do it perfectly yet.
I don't think anybody really ever will, probably.
No, man. Because every kid's different. Everybody's a unique individual. Every situation's unique.
Every society and society's evolving. So it's like, it's got to keep changing.
Yep.
Maybe everything is perfect for the time that it's in.
Exactly. Yep. Kids and technology, man. That's going to be it. It's insane already. I can't believe it. My 2-year-old granddaughter, how technologically... savvy she is.
Cyborgs.
Oh, it's wild.
All of us.
frick, man. I don't know. We're very close to that level, I think. I don't think we're very far off from that melding of, you know, human.
I mean, it's not integrated physically, but we've integrated it pretty fucking well into our lives.
Oh, gosh, have we ever. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, society would fall apart without it today. How would we function without the internet, without computers, without, you know, all of these modern conveniences we've come to use every day? How would society actually function if they just stopped working today?
Oh, man, it'd be pretty interesting.
Oh, man. My kids don't know what it's like to, you know, have to have written a school report and not have the access to the information in their bedroom. You know, when I wrote a school report, I had to ride my bike to the library. And then I had to go to the Dewey Decimal Index fucking system. And I had to go look up the book. And then I had to go walk over to the rack. And I had to go find the book. And, oh, guess what? That book's taken out by somebody else. And now I got to go talk to the librarian and find out when that book's going to get back. And, oh, that book's going to be back after my report's due. Oh, crap. Now I got to ride my bike to the other side of town.
To the other library.
And then when I learn that stuff, I actually have to remember it. because then I might be tested on it, or because the fact that I put all the energy and effort into it, I'm going to remember it, whereas children now, it's like I can just access that information from my bedroom anytime I want, so I'm going to look it up, write it down, and forget it.
Because if no, I even forget, better. I
just pull it up.
Yeah, even better, they access it from the test room on their cell phones.
either way, I'm just saying, with technology, I don't think people are really ever learning a whole lot unless they're actually applying what they're learning. And like you said, a lot of them are just doing it right before a test. I know guys in college where we went through my computer training that would basically do nothing but just study all the answers that are available out there for the test. And like what the question is, and all the correct answers. So they're basically trained to write a test. They were training themselves to write a test.
Memorize, to
understand
exactly
any of the theory behind it. so they all got certified, you know, in the same trade that I did, and they went out and got jobs. They went and did their practicums and fell on their faces. They couldn't do anything, and they're walking around with the certification saying that they can't. You know, that's what I'm saying is all what we're seeing with children and technology is I don't see they're retaining a lot of the information.
On the topic of certifications, I want to go ahead and say that we need a certification to become president or any sort of public office. I think you should at least have to pass a few tests.
Oh, yeah. You should have to pass a drug test. You should have to...
If everybody else does, yeah.
Yeah, you should have to pass a drug test. That drug test should consist of 4 hits of LSD. maybe like 70 milligrams of DMT at the peak,
and if you that's the best kind of drug test I've ever heard of.
Yeah, if you can handle that, you can run for president. If you can handle
that, awesome.
You can run for president. That's the drug test that we're going to implement for the U.S. presidential system.
Dude, you're hilarious.
I
as funny as it is, I totally agree with you. And not in a satirical way. I think that actually wouldn't be such a bad idea. I considered if I ever have a business, that'll be my second interview.
Yeah.
I got a trip with you.
I mean, when you think about it, you look at sort of the way that that DMT world works. You have a lot of people that are, you know, either into psychedelics, have had some psychedelic experience. They're a lot more open to communication. They're a lot more, you know, diplomatic, but not in a political way. You know what I mean? You seem to find a lot
friendly.
More of that. Just in that, and just willing to work things out, whether they like each other or not. They're willing to, you know, come together and learn from one another at the end of the day, and you know, end up, you know, coming to some sort of you know, a beautiful resolution or understanding at the end of it. And you see a lot more of that in people that have, you know, maybe had some psychedelic experience. I think it definitely brings a little bit more of a level of, you know, maybe empathy with your fellow man having gone through something profound, this connection and oneness. Maybe that would help if our world leaders all had, you know, some of that experience and were able to bring that to the table when they're all negotiating for, you know, a collective way forward for all of us. That's going to be beneficial.
Although, to be fair, that's not to say that it's a silver bullet. Of course, there are people that take psychedelics and become bigger assholes.
I would have to agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, I've seen people go completely sideways, completely the other way. But I don't know. I think an experience like that goes a long way for. But like you said, it's not a silver bullet.
Absolutely, no. I totally agree with you. I think that'd be pretty cool.
But I'd rather that be the drug test than you having to pee in a cup and show you've never taken drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Although, if they're going to make, you know, everyday citizens do it to, you know, count money, then I think that officials should also have to pee in a cup.
Absolutely. You don't see a lot of that in Canada. We don't see a whole lot of drug testing, you know, company policy, drug testing.
It's everywhere here.
You see it in industries where there's like either safety involved. You see it in like long haul trucking, you know, transportation of dangerous goods, police, things like that. But you don't see it in a lot of businesses unless you have to travel to the States or the company's run by a U.S. corporation. You don't see a lot of that. Canadian companies asking for drug tests, for pee tests.
Well, you're not the police of the world. We are, duh. Mm.
Well, exactly. Still fighting that war on drugs, eh? No, it's looking good here in Canada for decriminalization of all drugs. It's actually looking like it's going to be pretty damn close.
Well, if we end the drug war, then who would the CIA sell cocaine to?
Exactly. How would they fund the secret wars and Contras? Yep. How would they overthrow governments? And
this isn't even, we were talking about conspiracy theory. This is not theory. This is fact right now.
Oh, I know.
As sad as that is.
There's a lot of things that have been on the fringes of conspiracy theory that in the recent years have come out as being definite fact now. They're still, people still view them as being in those fringes, but they're absolutely not. That is one of them. Yeah, yep. To see disclosure on things like that actually happening. I think there's going to be
crazy.
Some major disclosure coming up soon with the UFO situation.
Thank you. I was literally about to just say what you thought about that, because I think so too. I've seen public officials mention it, like, on video.
Yep.
It's nonsense. Yeah. Either they're all crazy, or something's going to happen. And supposedly, I think it was High AF... or Animal Energy, they said that these channeled texts from the Palladians say that the extraterrestrials are supposedly going to reveal themselves if governments don't.
Yeah, and we're getting pretty close to the time that...
That's going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, and look at Baba Vanga, the predictions of Baba Vanga...
Sounds familiar.
She's like a Hungarian psychic.
Yes. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
She predicted it would be around this time that they would reveal themselves and they were basically going to help humanity through a really dark time. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Exactly. I think they said 3 to 5 years, and that was a book that was published last year, I think. So.
She said she's going to get real, real, real bad before they come down. So, I don't know how much worse it's got to get, man. Come on. I've been telling my wife, like, every night before I go to bed, I pray for the mothership to come back. Just please come back.
I bring it up to my wife pretty frequently, too. Like, hey, you know, they say that ETs are going to be here soon. Like,
they're coming. They're coming to rescue us. I don't know how many more days I can take here. They're coming back for us. Yeah, no, we'll see. But I do think there's some disclosure coming on the way. And there has been over the years a little more, you know, tidbits and dropping it more and more into the mainstream through media and shit. So, you know.
The deactivation of a bunch of warheads and shit like that.
Oh gosh, yeah. That's confirmed. That's not speculation anymore.
It's fascinating though.
100% confirmed that we're just useless. They know what we're doing. They know everything we have. People that are afraid of nuclear war are, you know, I don't think that they would ever let it happen. I really don't.
I see what you mean. I never thought
of
it like that.
They've already shown us that they can shut down nuclear warheads at will, right?
Yeah.
You don't think that they're not watching us all the time, you know? They don't have clothes.
At least monitoring.
If they're real, they don't have at least probes that are monitoring and looking for radioactive signatures, and they're not going to detect a Soviet nuclear sub heading towards the middle of the ocean to go launch a barrage of incoming missiles, and they're not going to be able to just go, meow, sorry, no, that nuclear signature, guess what, you're deactivated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've already shown they had that technology, so why the human race is even still invested in nuclear technology is just to keep each other scared, and that's one of the things with disclosure comes too, is that fear of nuclear weapons goes away, so that deterrent factor goes away when we're told basically by another alien race that we can never use these things that we've built, as powerful as they are, we'll never get to use them. So why are we putting resources into them? We've already been told that. It's because they haven't disclosed it to the public, so they're keeping everybody scared and still using it as tool manipulation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
look at all the money and resources that have gone into that, and what that could have done for society since the beginning of the Cold War.
The technology that probably would be introduced to us from the ETs. I mean, if we're being real, they've probably got plenty of life-saving technology.
The medical advancements are going to be what's going to save us. That's for sure. Who knows if it's even a living, breathing thing, you know? Who knows?
Yeah. honestly, I think that's a really good place to stop.
absolutely, brother.
It got really dark, and then we brought it back up with some hope, and yes, I think let's end it there with some love, man. It's good to talk to you.
Absolutely. You too, brother.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, man. Be good.
You too. Get home. Peace out. Have a good day, man.
Love out.